Alrighty, we want to say to you this morning, God bless you. Thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship Study Hour. We're so thankful for this another day that the Lord has made. We want to begin by saying praises to God our Father, from whom all blessings flow. And as we begin our study time, we want to keep that thought in mind, as our lesson will pertain around giving God the praise. He is certainly worthy to be praised. Thank you, those of you that have joined with us here, and even those that may come later as you listen to this message. We pray that you are blessed. Let us look to the Lord and invite him into our setting. Father, we come this morning to say thank you. We thank you, O Lord, our God, for all your many blessings, and we ask that you would be in our midst as we study your word, that you, O God, would speak through us, that you would be, Lord God, the voice that they hear, Father, and that they'll receive all that they need, Lord God, and all that you have to offer. Bless those that are apart, those that may join even later and receive this message. We pray, God, they too may receive all that you have for them. We thank you again, Father, for all your many blessings. We thank you for just joining us together in heart and mind and being in our midst. Oh, you're so great and you're so wonderful. We love you and we thank you today. Now, Lord God, come on in the midst and open our hearts and our minds that we may be able to receive all that you have. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Again, we want to thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship Hour. And we are going to begin our lesson study on today. And those of you that may not have a hard copy, we just ask that you would go to Psalms 103. That's where we're going to be studying from on today. Psalms 103. Get your Bible, your electronic device, whatever you may have, and follow along as we go through almost line by line this particular Psalms found in the Old Testament. Amen. Psalms 103. Our lesson is entitled, God for Us. It is a lesson on the attributes and the characteristics of God who offers the benefits of himself. Isn't that wonderful? And hopefully our goal and our objective is that we gain a greater understanding of the magnitude of God himself being for us. Let me repeat our goal. Our goal in studying this lesson is that we gain a greater understanding of the magnitude of God himself being for us. Amen, somebody. So our lesson focus is on the study of, in the Psalms, of a loving, powerful, compassionate God who offers those that are willing to believe a multiplicity of benefits. Amen. And today, as we study 103, Psalms 103, we will view those benefits through the reading and studying of the Psalms. For the Bible teaches us that God, or as the Hebrew text refers to him, Elohim, is self-sufficient. He is all-powerful. He is the strong one, the one who creates, the one who sustains, the one who supplies, and the one who designs. That's right. God is creator. Amen. He is the maker and of heaven and earth. He is the creator of life. Yes, he is. And he is the one that called the world into existence. And so we want to also point out another side of God, not only as creator and all self-sufficient one, but we want us to also gain understanding of God as a loving, compassionate, holy, and righteous benefactor. And one, get this, who desires to be in relationship with us, with his creation. Isn't that wonderful? God, our Heavenly Father, not only created us and is the creator of heaven and earth, but he also has a desire to be in fellowship or relationship with that he created. Oh my God. So Psalms 103, what we're going to be talking from today, is a psalm written by King David. We are well familiar with King David. He not only wrote this psalm, but so many others In the book of Psalms, we find so many of his psalms or selections there. And David was a well-beloved, well-known figure in the Old Testament, a well-liked king who served the people, and not only served the people, but served and loved his God. And so, through the lens or through the eyes of King David, we are going to see what God offers to us as believers. And hopefully, again, we will get an inside view of the magnitude of God's blessings in our life as they were in the life of David. So as we go through Psalms 103, almost line by line, we're going to see the varied, vast benefit package that is offered by God. My God. We will discover what is available for each of us, and that it all comes from the one that is able to provide without fail, and just as importantly, get this, who wants to give it to us. Isn't it something that God not only can provide it, but he wants to provide it for us? And how do we obtain it? I'm sure some of us are maybe even asking that question of ourselves right now. Well, the good news is, amen, we can obtain these benefits through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. That, again, points out the side of God. Not only did he create us, but he wants to be in fellowship and relationship with us. Oh, my goodness. Here's something of note. In studying this particular psalm, I came across this in my study. And of note, I wanted to point out that a hymn, a praise hymn, entitled, "Oh, Bless the Lord, My Soul," was written by Isaac Watts, who was an English Christian minister, hymn writer, theologian, logician, and he is credited with writing some 750 hymns, many of which we are singing today, not literally today, but within modern times, those same songs he wrote back in the early days, early times of the church. He wrote, and we are still utilizing those hymns. And in this particular hymn, "Oh, Bless the Lord, My Soul," he recounts the wonderful blessings of God, which we see in the first few verses of Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. And he points out that these blessings range from love and mercy to forgiveness and salvation from sin and death. Amen, somebody. So, the English writer, the hymnologist, points out that 103 is jam-packed with blessings that God offers to those that are willing to receive them by belief and faith in him. Amen. Somebody ought to shout out, praise the Lord. So, let's go and let's discover the wonderful blessings we find in this Psalms. Again, we're coming from Psalms 103, and we're going to walk through this Psalms almost line by line. So, who wrote this psalm? Well, the answer is King David. Remember that, King David, who was known as the apple of God's eye, one who was a friend of God, one who loved the Lord and served him faithfully, is the writer of this psalm. And so he's pointing out to us the great things we can receive. And he also reminds us about God in this psalm. He reminds us that that God offers us many blessings. That's right. David reminds us about God in this Psalms that God gives us many blessings. And, yes, that's right, not only that, and God has great love for us. Oh, isn't that wonderful, saints? That David reminds us when he penned this psalm that he wanted us to know that God gives us many blessings and that God has great love for us. Oh my goodness. Secondly, what does that offer to us as believers? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, if you thought about it long enough, you would see that it offers us assurance. Amen. You know, when you get your insurance policy, there is built-in assurance that that policy will be fulfilled whenever it is needed. Well, this particular benefit package that we're looking at today offers us that same, even more assurance that it will be fulfilled as we need them. Amen, somebody. Praise God. So let's look again at what it offers us as believers. Not only does it offer us assurance, it also offers us security. It offers us trust and safety. It offers us, get this, peacefulness. Amen. Sometimes you don't realize knowing God and what He has for you places a peace in you that is beyond understanding. Amen. And when others see your calm and peaceful spirit, they don't know it's because you are connected to God the Father as to why you are able to stay calm through sometimes the storms you face in your life. Amen. So we see today that this assurance we have in God offers us a peacefulness, a blessedness by being connected to Him. The writer also instructs the reader two things in the first two verses. He says in the first verse, I'm reading, and your version might be different. I'm reading right now the easy read. Verse 1 and 2 says, "My soul, praise the Lord. Every part of me, praise His holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and never forget how kind He is." So what does the writer say? The writer says, praise or bless the Lord. Your version might say, bless the Lord. Amen. It's the same. Praise or bless the Lord. That's right. Praise or bless the Lord. That's what the psalmist is instructing us to do at the very beginning of this psalm. Why? Because he says, I'm going to lay out for you some great things that God is going to do for you. So you ought to begin by praising Him already. Anyhow, amen. And some may even ask, well, how can you bless the blesser? How can you bless the benefactor? Good question. Hold on. We're going to answer that in a few seconds. I just want to point out to you right now that the Hebrew word for bless, get this, and many of you may even know it, is Barak. Sounds familiar? It should. We remember and recall not too long ago our president was called Barack Obama. Amen. So Barak is the Hebrew word for bless. Let me spell it. It's B like boy, A, R like run, A, K like king. Barak is the Hebrew word for bless. And get this. That word, Barak, is related to another Hebrew word that means to kneel. K-N-E-E. That's right. The word Barak, which means to bless, is related to another Hebrew word that means to kneel. So, this may answer the question, how can we bless the benefactor? How can we bless the blesser? Well, the idea is that when we bless God, we mentally bow on our knees to worship Him. All right? And that we are acknowledging Him as the source of all blessings. So the same word that we use to bless the Lord is the word we would use when we thank God in prayer and when He gives us good things. So that's how we bless the blesser. We are grateful and thankful. And then we honor Him and worship Him for being the source of all our blessing. Come on here, somebody, and give God a praise. That's right. You can go get a hand clap of praise if you want to. Amen. So the writer also gives more instructions. Not only does he say, praise or bless the Lord, but he also says something else in those first, at least that second verse. He says, put this in practice. Remember to praise the Lord. The Bible puts it this way, forget not. That's right. In the positive is remember. In the negative tense, it would be forget not. He's saying, forget not all your blessings. Be conscious of your blessings. Listen, The old time saints used to say it this way. Come on, we used to even sing it. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Amen? Don't forget. Remember all that God has done for you. Count your many blessings. Oh my goodness. So this is what the psalmist is saying to put into practice. Remember, be conscious of the blessings you are receiving. Amen. The writer also indicates this about God. He says that what God does for us tells us what he is really like. Let me say that one more again. The writer is telling us that what God does for us is what he is really like. So God loves us, he shows it. Let me say one more again. God loves us, he shows it. God is concerned for us, he shows it. God is compassionate and caring, he shows it. What he does for us is telling us who he really is. Showing again, as we said at the beginning of our lesson, his attributes and his characteristics. That he's loving, he's kind, he is compassionate, he is caring. And he shows it by blessing us. Amen. We say often that love is an action word. And if we take note of our Heavenly Father, he certainly puts that into practice. Amen. Let's go to verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David, the writer, uses the imagery of an eagle to express the renewed strength or vigor he receives from the Lord. Why an eagle? Well, an eagle is a graceful, strong, regal bird. One that is able to soar high in the air, soar above all others. The eagle is strong enough to go miles and miles on flight without stopping to regroup or to refresh. And so David is saying, I want to be like the eagle who can soar, who has strength and stamina, who can go the distance. And David is saying, God will renew your strength like that. Yes, he will. When we feel sometimes discouraged or down, we can look to God to help build us up and renew our strength and vigor like the eagles. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's go to verses 3 to 6. And I'm not going to read them. But I'm just going to highlight for you, found in these verses, verses 3 to 6, the benefits that we see there. One, he forgives all our iniquities. Amen. If you have a pen and paper, you can jot down these. Found in verses 3 to 6, we see that God forgives our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He is able to heal all our diseases. That means anything we're facing now or even in the future or what we even had in the past, God is able. In his will and his time and through his purpose, he can heal diseases. Amen. He redeems us from sin and destruction. Amen. Praise God. He is our Redeemer. Glory to God. Then he crowns us or covers us with love and mercy. Praise God. That's right. He crowns us, covers us with love and mercy. I almost see that as pouring it out over our heads and letting it run down, flow down from the crown of our heads down to the soles of our feet. Love and mercy. Amen. And then he provides, gives us justice and righteousness. Not too long ago, we studied the lesson of the heart of justice, and we found out in our study that God is at the center of justice. Amen. Bishop even talked about it today when he pointed out Micah. What does God require of you, O man, but to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God, to do right, to do justly, to do right, to do justly. So what God is requiring of us is what he also gives us being in relationship with him. He offers us justice and righteousness. Glory to God. Let's move on. Benefits found in verses 7 through 12. Well, if we read through 7 through 12, we would see these benefits. He shows us his ways. It says it this way: he has made known his ways to Moses, thusly to us. Not only does he shows us his ways, but he shows us his deeds also. We see that being recounted in this Psalms. But he shows us his ways, he shows us his deed. Again, he is merciful and slow to anger, offering in us what? Patience. Somebody just say that word, patience. Sometimes we are not patient people, but thanks be to God, God is patient with us, slow to anger, offering us mercy and grace. Write that down on a piece of paper, or if you have the hard copy lesson, write that somewhere. Grace. God is offering us his grace and his mercy, and he is slow to anger, patient with us. Amen. He also has not, and this is important, has not dealt with us according to our sins. Thanks be to God. He has not dealt with us or even punished us according to our sins or paid us back for our wrongdoing. Oh my God. Yes, his forgiveness is immeasurable, meaning it is without limit. His forgiveness speaks volumes. Amen. Why? Because it separates us from sin and casts it into the sea, like we like to say, of forgetfulness. And God is willing to separate us from sin through his Son and then remove it from us as far as what? The east is from the west. Because we know those two polar extremes will never meet. East will always be east and west will be west. If you get to the east, you are not in the west, and vice versa. And that's what God is saying. Your sin will be so separated, so far away from you, that they'll never be back up with you again. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move on. Let's look at the benefits we see in verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 to 18. Amen. Well, we see again that he is compassionate, that he has compassion on us. He has concern for us. And then his concern and love doesn't stop just with us. It's generational. That's why we need to share with our children and grandchildren and great-grand and so on and so forth. The love of God, the mercy of God is generational. Amen. It's to our children's children, and so on. Pass it on. Yes, God wants us all to be blessed. Amen. So his love and his compassion, his concern for us is generational. Amen. It's not only for us to partake of, but also for us to share with our loved ones. Praise be to God. Here is something I want you to note. Saints, I want you to put down somewhere on in your note taking. I want to point this out because this is important. Yes, it is. This is it. We don't deserve any of this. Did I say something to you today? We don't deserve any of these blessings. It is not because we are so good and so great and so grand that God does this. No. It's in spite of. It's because he loves us that he gives. The Bible says that he first loved us. And in his love and he gives, he pours out. Remember, not only can he provide, but he wants to provide. And not because we deserve it, but because he loves us so very, very much. Make sure you jot that down somewhere on your paper, that we don't even deserve any of this, but we ought to thank God that he is willing and able to bless us in the manner that he does. Oh, I'm excited today. I don't know about you. Thanks be to God. Amen. So let's look at verse number 14. Verse number 14 says something very important to us that we need to take note of. The writer shares with us in verse number 14 that God knows us. And get this, not only does he know us, but he knows that we are human and that we are fragile and that we are weak. Meaning that sometimes when we wanna, we can't. When we shoulda, we don't. When we coulda, we let go. Ah, he knows that we are human, that we suffer from human condition of sin. My God. But that doesn't give us the excuse to go ahead and sin. No, That is saying to us that we need to be mindful of our actions. In spite of God being merciful and gracious, we ought to want to give him the best. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're thankful today that God has said in his word, I know you, so I'm going to, in spite of who you are, still bless you. Come on here, shout amen, somebody. What about verse 19? Well, verse 19 is saying something to us, too. What is verse 19 saying? Let's take a look at verse number 19. That one I'm going to read to you because I think we overlook it. But it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Amen. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. What is verse number 19 saying? It is saying God is still in control. Yes, it is. He has established his throne from eternity. It's not some new kingdom that just shot up. It's not some new kingdom that just came into being. No, his kingdom has been established from eternity. It also points out to us that he is God, that he rules. He rules. Let me say one more again. He rules from heaven's throne, and his kingdom is over all. You ought to get excited about that because we serve a God that is supreme, that is number one. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. He is God or by himself. You know the rest. And he don't need nobody else. Amen, somebody. So God rule. He is the ruler over all. You know, we say it this way. King of kings, Lord of lords. Amen. That's right. God is in control. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's go to the final verses. Jump down to the final verses there. The final verses, the psalmist writes to tell us who should appreciate these benefits. Who should be looking at saying thank you for the benefits offered? Well, you'd be surprised, but the writer says his angels, his armies, his hosts or his armies, his servants, all creation, all creatures throughout his kingdom ought to bless or thank God for his many blessings. Let me say that one more again. Who should appreciate these blessings? Who should be blessing the Lord? Well, the writer says his angels, his armies, his servants, his host, all creatures, all creation throughout his kingdom. Amen. What does that say? That's you. That's you. That's you. That's even you. All of us should be celebrating God and thanking him for his many blessings. Amen. Let me also say this last thing as we come near the end of our lesson here, that we receive all of this. We receive all of this. Why? Because of us being faithful to him and believing in him and trusting in his promises. That's how you receive it. Let me repeat that. We receive all of this. We get all of this because we are faithful to him, trusting in his promises, and believing in him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is certainly good and worthy of our praise. Yes, he is. He is certainly good and worthy of our praise. Okay. Lastly, I want you to jot this down on your sheet. I want you to take note of this. That the writer tells us to what? Remember. Or to remember to praise God. Or bless God. Amen. When we bless God, we are being thankful. Sister Brenda, we can hear you. When we bless God and remember to bless God, we are being thankful. So the writer reminds us to praise God. In praising God, which is another way of blessing God, we remember all that he has done and we are thankful. We show forth our reverence or fear and love for him. We seek to be obedient, obeying his commands, and we seek to know and follow his will. Let me say that one more again so you can jot that down. The writer is telling us to praise God or to bless God, however you want to put it. When we praise or bless God, we remember all that He has done and we are thankful. We show forth our reverence or fear and love for Him. When we praise God, when we remember to praise God, we are seeking to be obedient and obeying His commands. And lastly, we are seeking to know Him and to follow His will. Amen, somebody. We are thankful today for our lesson found in Psalms 103, the benefits of God, knowing today that God is for us. This is a lesson on the attributes and characteristics of God who offers the benefits of Himself. Here's my last thought for you. I want you to think on this throughout the week. What does knowledge of His benefits recorded in this psalm do for you? Think on that, saints. What does the knowledge of His benefits recorded in this psalms do for you? Oh my God, think about it. From Jesus' day until the present, the Jewish people had a tradition of saying numerous short prayers throughout the day called blessings. This may help you. This may bless you. These prayers focus on God as being the source of all blessings. In the most ordinary things, they found ways of praising God. For example, when the first flowers were seen on the trees in the spring, they say, "Blessed is he who did not omit anything from the world and created it within good creations and good trees for people to enjoy." Even Jesus prayed these prayers of blessing, following the customs of his day. Oh my goodness, is this blessing you some kind of way? So continually praising God for his good gifts reminds us that the world is saturated with God's presence and that we are under his constant care. Think about it. What does the knowledge of his benefits recorded in this psalm do for you? Would we become people that are willing to bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continually be in our mouth? God bless you. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you. Father, we thank you again for joining together. We pray, God, that this lesson be a blessing. And we pray, O Lord, our God, that you, Lord God, will continue to show forth your compassion, your love, and your care in our lives as we remember to forget not to honor and to thank you and to bless your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within us. Oh, we thank you now, Father. Continue to have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let all the saints say, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining again us here at the Queen's Ministry. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer.